This is Sean from Voices of SAE talking to Scott Jacobs.
Hey, Sean.
How you doing, Scott?
I'm good. How are you, man?
Where are you right now, Scott?
I'm at my house in Noblesville with the family out with a big trip to the dentist.
A family trip to the dentist?
Yeah.
Shouldn't you send them to Disney World or something?
Small steps.
What pledge class were you?
Fall 96, Beta Row.
Fall 96. That was when I was there, and I have memories with you and fun times, even out in Colorado, and we can touch on that. But let's start it off at the beginning. Your parents, what did they do? What are their names? Where were you born? Grade school, high school? What kind of stuff did you get into?
Yeah, Jana and Ron Jacobs. They had me in Cincinnati, Ohio, and then quickly moved out to the suburbs in Indiana, Aurora, Indiana. My mom was a teacher for most of her first half of her career. She actually made a second career out of being a minister, and then turned that into a gambling recoveries ministry. So she's about wrapped up with that. She's almost 80 years old, has had a lot of different career choices and a lot of different impacts on different people. My dad, Ron Jacobs, was a chemical engineer and a vibrations analyst, just a crazy brain on that guy. He's retired and helping my mom where he can. So they're up here close to Noblesville with me, and I get to see them from time to time.
All right, and where'd you go to grade school and high school? And what'd you do?
Yeah, so Aurora, Indiana, Aurora Middle School and South Dearborn High School. Had a couple of guys, SAEs, that were around my time as well, Seth Pippen, Ryan Detmer, from the same cloth there in southeastern Indiana. When I was going through school, I focused a lot on soccer. I played year-round soccer. I did whatever kind of clubs, social clubs, academic clubs, that kind of thing. But, yeah, athletics, I played a few different sports, but I really focused on soccer.
What are you doing now?
Right now, I run an IT support group for a marketing department here in Indianapolis, or a marketing company in Indianapolis.
What's the name of the company?
Aprimo.
Aprimo? What type of clients do you guys deal with?
We're pretty much at Fortune 500. That's where we started back in the early aughts. So you'll have fairly big marketing departments for retail chains, banks, pharma companies. But now we're also kind of coming into smaller niche areas as well. So marketing departments for railway companies and just like smaller oddball things that you wouldn't even think of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds super exciting. You pushing all the buttons for all the IT moments, all right? That's the fun part, right?
Keeping it rolling, yeah.
Codes. All the codes. So
all the codes.
Let's bring it back. Why did you pick Ball State? And who was your first connection to SAE?
I picked Ball State. I went to New Students Day at Miami of Oxford, which was about 45 minutes from my home. I think it was more of just a shift in kind of what I was thinking about when I left high school. So would I just stay very close to local, or did I have an opportunity to go somewhere else? And I didn't apply to many places. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So at the last moment, I had kind of checked the box of architecture. So I was going to Miami of Ohio for that. But then I switched to go to Ball State it was about a week or two after New Students Day at Miami.
And then how did you get connected to SAE?
So yeah, I was thinking about that here. There was just a set of friends that you have when you're in dorms that, you know, you don't remember their names. They may have been impactful at the time. But if you didn't stay up with them or stay in contact with them, you have, you know, no idea who they were. But I do recall kind of being in a place where it was, I'm not really sure, you know, who my core group is here at Ball State. I had friends from home. My roommate situation was kind of weird, so I met up with these friends and I said, I think I want to, you know, just go to the fraternities and see if that's an option. And a girl was like, yeah, I'll take you, no problem, we'll get some free drinks and have a good time. So I just kind of went up and down the row, and like the goal was just to say, hey, what fits the most.
So this was not during rush, this was you with some chicks?
It was a little bit before rush, yeah.
But you rolling with some girls. Were there any guys, or was just you and some chicks?
Yeah, I don't think there were any guys.
That's pimp.
It helped me get in the door,
no,
I think.
It's brilliant. Yeah. Like, I can't... Yeah. That's... High five. Phi Alpha.
Right, right. So, yeah.
Did they know anybody in SAE, or was it a cold call?
They knew Dondo.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So... They also knew a few here and there. So, you know, I'd stop at Lambda Chi, D Chi, Sigma Chi, and had just different experiences there. And then we ended up at SAE, and we kind of told them what we were doing. And they're like, well, hey, we don't have a party going on or anything, but here's a beer. Here's the TG. I'm going to go grab Dondo because, one, this girl knows him, and, two, he's going to be the pledge trainer. So he came down and talked to me for a little bit, and that was it.
Well, that wasn't it. That was the beginning.
That was the beginning. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Dondo, he didn't like you, or he thought you were okay?
I don't even know if he remembers that aspect of it. I think we're pretty tight now.
So
but,
what sold you on the house? Because you're rolling out with chicks to all the houses. What sold you on it?
I think it was... I don't know if there was one thing. That's a good question. Because the other aspects, the other places I can recall, they had big parties going on and stuff. And I think Lambda Chi, I got taken out on a fire escape and like was pressured to commit or something like that. It was very odd. But I just think it was the one conversation with one person, and it went really well. You just kind of click with somebody and you're like, okay. And that makes sense.
And then that's it. Then you got a bid, and then all of a sudden you're an active brother.
Yeah, we did the rush thing, and Kirker, I remember. I was trying to think too, and like through rush, do I remember anybody? And I can remember walking up to the house maybe on the first day of rush, and you were out there just kind of playing with a soccer ball. So me and you just kind of kicked it around for a little bit. That was probably about it. I remember going on different outings. So we did the night golf. We had like a steak dinner, I think. Yeah, this is probably when we had a better budget. And then night golf was the last thing. And
I forgot
Travis
about that.
Powers gave the speech like at the end. And he said something like, look to your left, look to your right. You know, only one of you is going to be here. And I thought, okay, I'm not really, I'm still very naive at this point. I don't really know what's going on, but like, okay, well, I hope that's me. I hope I get to stay. And then, yeah, I got the bid with Bernie Darko was on my floor in the dorms, Sam Morgan, and Bernie and I had hung out a little bit too. So I knew a couple of people, but yeah, it was all very, very new and strange.
All right. And how long was your pledgeship?
I heard Sam say 26 weeks, so I'll go with 26 weeks.
But it was two semesters?
It went over the winter holiday. So we came back, and I think we had to finish up at in January, potentially.
Okay.
It's kind of cloudy.
Who was your pledge trainers?
So John Arredondo... and then Sean Pabst.
Sean Pabst, okay. Yeah. All right, so what are some of your memories on maybe walkout?
Yeah, so walkout is a one of those types of times that you don't really understand what's going on. You're told, let's go ahead and plan this. Let's, raise money throughout the semester, and let's make sure that you can show yourself a good time. Take a break, right? Get out of the Ball State. Take a break. And, bring whoever you want with you. So we had a friend of ours, I guess he was the president of the pledge class, Jared Riley, had a house off campus, and he was a pretty social guy. So he had plenty of traffic through his house, and we would just charge. We'd charge for beer, charge for cover, charge for whatever. So we got plenty of coin rolling in that way. So we were able to get a bus, get whatever kind of movies we wanted to watch on that bus ride, keg of beer, and then we took the team down to Cincinnati. But before then, this is where that kind of shock / what's going on type moment happens, where you're told that morning, hey, we're walking out. Dondo, we're walking out. Oh, by the way, you guys can't walk out until you get all your pledge brothers together, and we've already kidnapped one. Okay, great. So that all is kind of a blur, and people are getting tackled in the middle of whatever that is, the
Riverside?
The village. There we go. I think Matt Minier lost his debit card in an ATM. He got tackled at an ATM and got thrown into a van. We had different houses off campus, so we were trying to bounce in between the different houses because it was just chaos. Nobody knew what was going on. So Matt Jones and I were at his house, and he shared it with two ladies, and we're like, okay, well, nobody's going to come here. Nobody's going to bust into a house that a couple of ladies live in. And we were wrong. So we were inside the house, and I told Jones, I said, all right, well, I'm going to use the restroom. In the kitchen, there's this, in the very corner of the kitchen, there's a very small door, and it was like an eighth of the size of a normal bathroom, but that's, that's a college town. That's what it was. So I go in there, I close the door, and, not just 10 seconds later, the house starts shaking. People are yelling. Jones is a very, very funny guy, very needly sense of humor. So he's yelling back at whoever it is, and he's, he's making fun of his attackers. He is just egging them on, and I can hear him. And then all of a sudden I hear him start running, and I hear like, oh, shit. And he had forgot to lock a window in the kitchen. And so I hear people start climbing in and start grabbing him, and I'm just in the bathroom like, I'm not coming out. Like, no, I'm going to keep this door locked, and I'm not going to say a word. Jones, please don't rat me out. And I hear him. He shouted at least a couple of times, and and he's probably shouting insults at me the whole time. And I'm kind of laughing, but then kind of like startled too. And then I can hear people walking around, and I thought I heard, like maybe Mike Pellissier, Todd Theory, and those kinds of guys walking around the house looking for me because they heard him shouting for me, but they couldn't find me. So. I heard Sam say it too. We found him, and he was completely boozed up and just kind of waving to us, and eventually got all the folks, whoever wanted to come, and got him on the bus and got going to Cincinnati.
That's funny. All right, so I want you to talk about our trip and leading up to it.
I want you to talk about our trip.
Hey, pin number, bro. I'm older. I've forgotten shit. I got it. Yeah. You're going to spark some memories. I'll spark some memories. But first off, so I started, the rep came to our house from California. There was an SAE. He asked me, Basically, no. He came to the house, and the people he talked to, he's like, you know, who knows more people on campus than anybody in this house? And they're like, get Kirker. And I'm like, what? And they come to my room, and I'm like, who are you? And he's like, you need to introduce me to a whole bunch of people on campus. I'm an SAE. And I'm like, what? And he's like, ski trip. I'm like, I ski. I love Colorado. Cool. So I take this dude around, fraternity, sorority, whatever, whatever, introduce him to a ton of people. And I'm like, dude, I don't want to run this shit. I just want to be SAE's rep. He goes, you already introduced me to everybody. You are the head rep. And I'm like, God damn it. So, so for, you know, Snowmass, Aspen, I went 2 years. I believe it went on years after me. I can't remember which year you went. And no, wait, it had to be the second. It was the 96. Second. Yeah, it was the second year that I did it because we had that house.
Yeah.
Right? So. Yeah. We got to we take a bus out there, everybody from Ball State, giant charter bus. And when we get there in the middle of the night and we're trying to get all the room assignments, they come out and say, they gave up all your Ball State, the whole school's rooms in the hotel. I'm like, what? We just drove across the fucking country and we don't have any rooms? Are you shitting me? And then they come back and go, oh, yo, it's good. We upgraded all of them to these condos on the slope. And I'm like, that's cool. Great. And then I'm like, well, where's Arthur? He goes, but you're not going to be able to stay with him. I'm like, what? And they go, yeah, you can stay on the other side of the, you know, the whatever, the ski area. And basically the other side of the main slope in a house. And I'm like, well, that's bullshit. We're going to be far away from everything. Well, turns out we had.
We're pissed.
Yeah, turns out it's a 5-level, multi-million dollar, $1,800 a night that had 77 Spanish gold doubloons under glass on the coffee table where we were drinking and doing weird, you know, whatever, having a great time.
Right.
And we had a maid like 24/7 and car service to take us anywhere we wanted 24 hours a day. Is that about right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we were shuttled because you're right. I forgot about that part, like why we were shuttled, but it was because we were away from everybody. So everybody was kind of back, everybody else. So we picked along the way the bus trip, which was a big part of a big part of the journey just to get there in a bus, and we're picking up different students from different universities as we move from Indiana to Colorado, and we're making friends. And I remember you made a friend, Sean, and there's kegs, there's whatever you want on the bus. I guess we'll leave some secrets, but we made it to Colorado. Yeah. We find out, no, you're not in like the Olympic Village with everybody else. You're over there. And yeah, it's a mansion. I think I was trying to think of who was there with us. And it was me, you, Jared Riley, was Brian Wade, I think.
Yeah, I think it was Wade, actually.
So I think it was the four of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had like an antler chandelier. Remember that?
Yeah. I think it had a loaded bar too, because I can vividly remember Wade like lifting up a carafe of something that just was probably really expensive, and I tried to sip it, and it's so disgusting. But you know, I was a fresh 18, you know, maybe 30 beers under the belt total in my life by that point, and quite an adventure.
I remember that my cousin from Fort Collins, somehow they came to visit or something, and they were there and came to that house, but what are some of the other things you remember happening on that trip?
So, who was the headliner? So, it was the college, maybe it was
Greek. Are you talking about Y-Store, the band?
Yeah.
Y-Store played. Yeah.
So we get there, and it's the Greek ski trip. So, it has some kinds of sponsors, and it has the mid-tier bands that are starting to make some waves. And Y-Store was right in that spot, like right when we were there in 96. And what I remember is going to one of their performances, and we all started chanting like Ball State. And is it Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah. like, he saw us, like, chanting Ball State, and then later he just kind of met up and,
no,
hey,
that's a,
were
no,
you guys?
No, no, you're messing this up. I remember this exactly. We went, they played Wednesday night in Snowmass at our resort, and they played with another band from Texas. And that night, right afterwards, Eric Jensen, who's a Sigma Chi, comes up to me and he's like, "Kirker, I got me and you on MTV tomorrow morning." And we ended up, like, we partied, and I woke up fully still clothed at like 15 minutes before supposed to be the next hotel, ran to the next hotel, doors shut right as we get in. We're the last people to get on a snowcat with Simon Kennedy. We meet Jenny McCarthy on the top of the freaking mountain. We ski down with Simon Rex at the end of it. And then we get on MTV later that day, and they were playing, you know, Fight on My Ranges, Rat in a Cage, whatever that song is.
Oh, sure.
Then that night, we go to Planet Hollywood in Aspen. And we went upstairs, and the Y Store was just sitting at a booth. And they were just hanging out. And we're like, holy shit, we're Ball State. You guys played that night. And we stole Chris from the band. We're like, we're going back to Snowmass. You got to come back and party. So we remember that?
There wasn't a lot of convincing there.
No.
We didn't steal him.
Well, whatever. He was like, sure, I'll go party with Ball State. Totally, that. We were up till dawn. I mean, him talking about professors. And shit, whatever. I don't know.
And take where I was, you know, just from like a me, you know, talk about me, Kirker. From like a me standpoint, you know, I'm coming from cornfields around Cincinnati, going up to Ball State, and then what was that? 3-4 months later, that's the experience that I get with you. And a bunch of strangers, and it was just, you know, much, much, much different, much, much different than anything.
Well,
I was used to.
When did your face go limp?
Not for another couple of years.
It was years later? Was it like right after that?
Oh, no, you're right. It was the summer later. It was 97. I got Bell's palsy.
Yeah, you did. Sure. And it, you know, and you're an adorable guy, but when half your face is falling slow, slow face, it's just dripping. I just felt so bad, man. I'm like, he's trying to drink a beer and it's dripping out the side of his face.
Well,
man.
You know, what I did, I wore sunglasses a lot. Luckily, it was in the summer. So you just put sunglasses on. And you learned to drink through a straw.
Yeah.
And I was good to go.
How long did that last?
I mean, if it's kind of like being in a fraternity, you know, if you see somebody like, oh, they had Bell's palsy. So if somebody had it, they could see me now and be like, oh, okay.
Really?
I can still tell.
Yeah, but no, how long did it like physically last that you couldn't, like, I don't know.
Couldn't blink? Yeah.
Yeah, just like normal looking function, normal.
Yeah. Like, probably like 2 months or something like
2 months, yeah. That was it was something. So what were some other stories that you remember at the house, funny things that you've thought of that you want to share?
I think there were a couple of I definitely flagged the road trip to Aspen. I think something that the Beta Row group, there's about 6 or 7 of us that meet every. We get to swap stories. We get to do this kind of catch up a lot, and it's great. And there's always been a topic that we talk about, which is the night that you pledge, and so you're given the bid. You go into pledge night, and everything changes. Like everything flips, and everyone just accepts it. So what I can remember is, you know, you get a steak dinner, you get night golf, whatever, and you say, okay, be at the house at 7 o'clock. So you go to the house at 7 o'clock. Oh, make sure you bring some dirty clothes. Got it. So they go, I can remember going through, okay, you're going to have to clean the house. You're going to have to do this, that, and the other. You're going to have to do these projects. And it's like, okay, I know that that's what I signed up for. And then it's like, okay, do you have those dirty t-shirts on? Like, yeah, okay, put those on. And this is where it gets a little bit hazy. But so you're in the pool room, the door closes, the lights go off, you're told to like put your shirt up over your head or whatever. I think there might have been like ketchup or mustard, who knows? And then, the nicest guy in the house, John Arredondo, just starts, ripping into you and starts yelling at you. You're like, oh, okay, I understand this. I accept this. This is what's supposed to happen. And the next thing that happens is the door opens and they say, go, get out of here, run, run, run. And I was probably middle of the pack and I kind of had to stop. And what had happened was Sam Morgan was closest to the door and he didn't take his shirt off from over his head. And he starts running out the door and he takes. We're supposed to go down the front stairs, but he takes the right, like a you go down the hallway, and he takes a right, and he goes slams right into a closed door because he had a shirt over his head, and so everybody has to stop, and then get everybody going down the right path. Chaos ensues, and it's the most intoxicated I've been in my life. That kind of night, and. And what I can just remember is, again, Sam trying to kind of take care of me. There was also a friend from his hometown, a girl that we had some interest there, but that was a little odd because I was so sick that night. Anyways, I can just kind of remember these spots, and then all of a sudden I remember that I'm in my dorm room and I'm filling up a bag, and I've got my roommate who, again, just doesn't really. We're kind of on the outs at that point. It's just kind of staring at me. And then the next thing I know is I'm laying face up in the parking lot of the SAE house, and people are coming up to me like, hey, it's time to get into a car. Like, okay, this is, again, this is normal. I'll get into a car. And I can just remember going and going and driving and driving. And we went to, and you'll probably know who it was. But we went to somebody's family lake house or something like that. Like they had a big plot of land, a lake, and some cabins and things like that. And we spent the night there, and then you start to get to know each other. You start to get to know your pledge class and the other brothers. And I can remember distinctly, like still being completely shaken, like from the night before. And having people like Tony Kearns, Bill Mueller, and like others, like I could just remember Tony keep saying, "I'm Tony the Tiger. I'm Tony the Tiger." I'm like, what did I get myself into? Like, I have no idea where I'm at. Oh, and then I open up my bag. I'm like, okay, what did I pack for myself? And it's just like a bunch of socks and like one T-shirt. I really don't know what I got myself into. But what we talk about when we meet with the Rose is like that was all just a flip of a switch, and it was, well, that's what you do, and that's what's expected. And I mean, we loved it. I wouldn't want to ever do it again, but we loved it.
Did we play Donkey Kong?
Yes. Yeah.
So
I got out of it though.
I'll speak to this. I still feel bad for this guy, but basically we were rolling kegs down a hill inside a horse pasture, and there's a fire at the top of the hill, and the kegs that were getting rolled down, the pledges had to line up, and it, like in a snake formation, as it rolled, they'd have to hop over it, and but stay one behind the next, behind the next, behind the next, behind the next, and jump over the keg, whatever. Well, that went for a while, and then for some reason they were doing like a relay race, and they had me go to the bottom of the hill, and some kid was like running at me. And he basically slipped and landed without him knowing. And it was dark, and I didn't really know, but I kind of ended up knowing. Slipped and fell on his ass and his back and slid in horse poop. And so he goes back up, and I'm like going, Because when he walked back up, I could see in the light that there was a huge streak. And I'm like, oh my God. And then I looked on the ground, I'm like, oh my God. And I was like, oh my God, he's got poop all over, you know, whatever. And I remember going back up there and then me coming up. And I hadn't told people yet because I was like walking up. But people started going, man, who the fuck?
Yeah.
He smelled, God damn. And then finally, whoever figures it out, and they're like, oh my God. The guy like, and he turns to the fire. I wish I would know who this is, but he like turns to the fire and then it just glows and it's just like a shit streak all on his back. And everybody's like, holy crap. Yeah. You got shit all over you. Oh my God. That was so funny.
No, I don't know who that was, but yeah, I got a couple of passes that night. I was still in full recovery mode. So even that second night was a little bit splotchy for me.
Well, okay. So anything else at the house? It's funny things that have happened at the house throughout your time of being at, you know, at college. What are some funny things you remember happening?
Yeah, I mean, it would be tough to really kind of hone in on certain things, but I think it was the dynamic between the different groups of folks who come in. So year over year, you get new members and new friends. And so you build up these different experiences with your own pledge class, with the guys that are probably just a little bit older than you, and then the guys that are a little bit younger than you. It's tough to say one type of experience, but just knowing that each one of those phases, I guess, was a little bit different.
Let's take this a different crazy. Approach. Anything crazy you can remember happening in the basement?
Okay.
So what is it?
I mean, there's plenty of experiences with iWeek, plenty of experiences with pledge nights where the concepts of pyramids are in play. I can recall at least, again, man, that pledge night, I guess, was very impactful for me, but I can remember us with beer all over the floor, just, you know, running and diving through it, trying to clean it up in whatever way. And I guess we thought that was the best way to clean that up. iWeek experiences, spending the time with folks, listening to Cotton Eye Joe over and over and over, and just, hearing what comes out of the mouth of others. We had, a guy, John Stefan, had something going on with his foot. He was, we'll just say, picking at his foot and sees that, you know, his buddy Lance has an open can of Pringles and just dives right in. It's just, it's super small. It's not anything that, right? But it's something that sticks in your brain and you think, I'll never forget that time that John Stefan picked his toes and then put his hands in it.
Do you happen to remember a Halloween party when the coffin for Patty Murphy was pulled onto the stage in the basement? And then I busted out of it doing Beastie Boys in an afro and a brown pimp leisure suit?
I don't. But if I missed it, it sounds like I missed a good
that
time.
That really was my favorite moment, period, I think, was I told the DJ to, like, kill the lights at midnight and I'm going to climb in the coffin for Patty. Yeah. And I pulled it out on the front of the stage and everybody's dancing so nobody could see that I got on the coffin. And I'm in there with the microphone with a 40 and a cigar and an afro and fake chains. Yeah. And I start broadcasting and then I kick the lid open and freak everybody out in the front row because they didn't see anybody get in the coffin. And I do Beastie Boys past the mic sitting in the coffin.
Nice.
It was a beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
One thing that was really cool with Patty one year, it was Mike Pellissier and Ty Miller did your last moments of Patty Murphy. Did you go on that one? Do you remember that?
Keep going.
So you would experience the final hours of Patty Murphy. And so at the very beginning of the night, you'd get like, you know, a bag of cash or something like that, you know, fake cash. And I'm totally butchering this, so Ty could always help me out. But You would go through the different movements. You know, he took a limo ride to an airport hangar. So we went out to like the Muncie Airport, and we would have the dinner out there, and then something would happen out there, and then you take the limo ride around, and you ended up back at the house. And like as you go down to the basement, you got shot, and they said, okay, now you're dead, so go downstairs. And they had all the like black balloons, and it made it look like you were underground, and then that's where you did all the wheels and everything. That was really cool.
Wow. Yeah, I do recall that. So, I mean, I know we could go back and forth and you come up with other stuff, but what do you think you really got out of it, and how did it really kind of prepare you for, you know, after school life, all that jazz?
Yeah, I think it's I think it's friendships. The pledge ship was such an experience. Going through those 26 weeks or whatever it was one that kind of taught you a little bit more structure, especially when you're that young and you're getting away from your parents for the first time. So that doesn't stick with you, I don't think, through life, but it's a cold shot of water to make you kind of start thinking about things differently. But then you're making friendships like throughout, and I could remember throughout my time, I was only there for 3 years, and I came back plenty after that. I was in college for 7 years, but I came back plenty. But for those 3 years, it was, yeah, these, I've heard other people say it too, these are the guys at my wedding, these are the guys that are helping me through, you know, tougher times in life later. So you share that experience, you make those friendships and those bonds. I think that was that's the biggest takeaway for me.
So who would be some guys that you would like to hear them tell some stories?
I think from like a
and think,
Beta Rope
think of this like older, younger, and same age.
Right.
Like, think of it like that.
Well, I know we're on a string here where you're hitting late 90s. I'd love to keep hearing that. I think there's a group that kind of came in a couple years later, just a year later. Simon Gilbert, James Bennett, those guys can spin some yarns, man. I think it would be interesting to get them in the interview booth with you.
Okay. All right. Well, is there anything else you want to share before I close this out? Any other stories?
I'll share one more thing, and it's a quick one, but just the memories of intramural sports too. Like our house was major, I wouldn't say meatheads, I think at the time, but just very athletic, very honed in on volleyball and football and basketball and soccer, softball. So we were winning sports trophies. And one of those kind of outside of the house moments that I could remember, it was Dan and Mike Boedeker, I think Corey Miller, Corey Hamill, maybe Russ Leaflad. I couldn't remember if he was on that Lions team or not, but like these guys were amazing at volleyball. And somehow Jason Swearingen wasn't on the team, probably because he played for Ball State, but that's, yeah, I assume that's why. But just going to those games and having these huge cheering sections for your own team, and we would always end up playing Sig Up, of course, at the end. And I can remember that, like, you know, the one volleyball game that basically gave us the trophy was our team was back and forth with Sig Ups, and that squad won, and we all went crazy, and yeah, just a really good memory.
That's awesome. All right, brother, we'll stay on the line. And Phi Alpha, thank you for sharing. And I'm going to close this one out.
All right, Phi Alpha, thanks.